This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Let's fire off cut number two, and let's indeed talk more about the Mavericks.
Curry gets it left side, jumper, no good. Looney, offensive rebound to Iguodala to Thompson, loads up a three, got it!
So yesterday, Corey brought us the breaking news. How unselfish of you. It was your birthday, and you're still like, I will deliver gifts to
people. Dude, I crushed breaking news all day yesterday.
Man, did we have like three or four stars moving?
Mispronouncing Matt Dumba's name.
Because you were a Dumba. How bullish are you on the Mavs now? Like, look, I understand. Hey, the season starts for real in October, and some people will argue not really until Christmas, and we got a lot of time. But just with all of these moves, and this can also factor in Najee and Grimes and everything else, how do you feel about the Mavs team this morning?
I feel awesome about it. I really do. Now, I don't think they're the favorites or they're way above Oak City, Denver, and Minnesota. I think there's a four pack of teams in the West that are very close. And any one of those four teams I could see going to the NBA Finals next year. They're right there. They have the opportunity to repeat as Western Conference champions. And I do think they've gotten better overall. I think that they have gotten better as a team. And I'm so interested to see how Klay Thompson is going to use this motivation. I saw it now, he's a little bit younger, but I saw Steve Nash with a bad back who struggled in the playoffs at times for the Mavs because of, I don't want to say cardio, but it seemed like he would wear down in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then he went to Phoenix and he figured out a new routine, all of these things, stayed healthier, had more energy in the playoffs. I'm not saying Klay's going to do that, but this motivation from Klay, watching a lot of stuff yesterday, I think he's going to have a lot of motivation to get back to close to where he was at.
I wanted to talk about that motivation aspect specifically with you right here, Corey, because you talk a lot about the great motivators in sports, and listening to Mike describe it, it sure does sound like he's keen on one of those points as a motivator
this
year.
There are three great motivating factors when it comes to athletes. Number one, and in no particular order, I'm just saying number one in this order, revenge, which is exactly what Klay's experiencing.
Yeah.
Contract season, which you see this happen all the time, and fun babies. Look, when you have to pay for kids, it's expensive.
Sure.
You need to make money. So that kind of merges with contract season. But that being said, it will motivate you to get out there and do some work. But yes, revenge is always a key factor, which is interesting because with Kyrie, revenge is, I can't beat this team still. He wants to, and maybe he wants to beat them so badly, he just can't perform the way he wants to against them. But for whatever reason, he can't. But so revenge, though, you see it all sorts of times. I want to work harder to go out and show them that I can still do this.
I think the reason why I am so stoked about where the Mavericks sit today is you look back at the way, a week and a half ago, this all transpired. The Mavericks went into the summer without cap space, and they were going to have a $5 million taxpayer mid-level exception. That's what they had. And so they were like, you know what? That's not going to work for me. So we got creative. You sent off Tim Hardaway Jr. along with the 3 second-round picks in exchange for Quentin Grimes. That created the trade exception that allowed you to bring Klay Thompson in, and it also got you under the taxpayer level so you could use almost, if not your full, mid-level exception, which at the time we thought was a no-brainer for Derrick Jones Jr., but then again, he switched agents, which could complicate the matter, and instead, they had another person that it seems like the Mavs potentially think is younger and a tiny bit cheaper in Najee. They were able to do all of that out of, we have $5 million.
Did Mark Cuban ruin us? Because not the whole organization. What I'm saying is when we've gone into this offseason 20 years in a row, or the Mavericks have close to a max slot, but not close. So we need to trade from pick 13 and not take Giannis and take Shane Larkin at pick 17 because it saves $152,000. And you're like, what did we do for $152,000? Well, we ruined our organization for the next 3 years. Mark Cuban couldn't get this creative. Yeah. I don't know who's behind everything, but I have to give Nico a lot of credit because for a 20-year period, the Mavericks were never this creative with no cap space. Yeah. They didn't even have a mid-level exception to start this off. And all of a sudden, you're making trades. You're doing this in the draft. And 58 to 51 is not a big deal, but all he did was give up a few dollars to move up seven spots to get a guy who they think might be able to play in the NBA later in his life. And he's doing all of these things, and the offseason might be over for the Mavs. Maybe there's even another move that he's creative about, but I will give Nico and his team, whatever that team is, Michael Finley, Jason Kidd, the whole team, I've never seen the Mavs under Mark Cuban be this creative with this little amount of money or like asset situation.
And what's wild is how much it changed just from the sale of the team. As soon as the sale happened, these trades happened that made the team better, and every move since then has looked like a, whoa, hold on.
Well, hold on. This? Are we saying that this happened from the trade? Because I think this is as soon as Nico Harrison enters. He's made 11 trades before this offseason, and at every juncture where there's been an opportunity to make a move, they had made moves. And so, like, this might just be Nico himself. I don't even know how much Nico and the empowerment of Nico to make these moves with him at the helm of this front office. They've done incredible things, and really, they've threaded the needle multiple times and come out pretty good on the other side every time.
At the Super Bowl,
Nico Harrison didn't invent the Super Bowl.
No.
I just wanted you to know
that. When we were at the Super Bowl at the trade deadline, I thought that was another, I know right now we're caught up with this and I get that, but there was an incredible set of maneuvers right there that made this team better and did not really hinder your team going forward. So credit for that as well.
The other thing too, and I get it, you're not really doing much during the playoffs as a general manager. You can't make moves as you can't trade for a player to help you out in the playoffs or anything like that. But he only had a week to get ready for the draft / free agency. And I know he was working behind the scenes during the playoffs on these things, but the dude had a week of not watching Mavericks basketball in the NBA playoffs / NBA finals and figured out five different moves to make to get this team to Klay Thompson to, obviously they did want Derrick Jones Jr. He said they did the day before the draft. It didn't work out, but he already had plans in place. If something went wonkers on him, he had something in place, and the Mavericks have never had anything in place. In the history of Mark Cuban, he's never literally had a plan B in his life in the NBA. If it didn't work out, we were screwed for 7 to 10 days. And so I just want to give him a lot of credit. Obviously, the miracle upon miracles that he'll always have, Nico, is he was able to trade Davis Bertans for something. Like, that's the miracle upon all miracles.
Somebody said they'll put up a statue of him if he trades Dwight Powell. I just want to say this, and I know this is odd potentially for this show. It's Dwight Powell is not as much of a hindrance as he used to be. He's making close to a league minimum. $4 million. So I hear you. I understand the concerns. I know some people feel that way about Maxi Kleba, and that's a different conversation because now we're talking about a more tangible amount of money. But Dwight Powell is only at $4 million.
Now he's what? Vibes Master General, basically?
Yeah. Pretty much. Mm-hmm. That's a good descriptor of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm excited, Corey. I think that they could repeat as the Western Conference champions, and I think they have a chance to win it all.
Okay.
Are you about to rain on our parade?
I'm not here.
He's him and Micah Parsons,
I'm not here to rain on anything. I'm just here to ask some questions, all right? Because I, too, am excited. I think you have your Steve Kerr. I think you have your three-point dude that can come off a bench and be hot, you know, if he needs to be.
I thought you meant Jason Kidd.
And okay, yeah. Jason Kidd.
He's not coming off the bench.
No, I'm talking about, like, the three-point shooter that can do that thing, you know, that you're just like, well, I got to go save Michael again. That's what Steve Kerr
says. This is a really spicy
take.
Man,
that's a fiery opinion to start things off.
Klay's knees, they're good, right? Like, they're going to hold up at 34, right?
He played 77 games last year.
Yeah, okay.
That's the best way I can answer that question without, like, really going into detail. He played 77 games. He started 63 games, and he wanted to start more. Now, if you're asking me, like, the acumen of his defense, he is no longer peak slash
play. Mediocre.
I mean, he has had an ACL and an Achilles injury, and he is beyond the age of 30. Those things don't typically add up to elite defender. However, like, It's what level of degradation are you dealing with? What type of things can he give you? Can he be solid? And can he at least not be a liability? Because you already have enough of those. With all due respect to Kyrie and Luka and the ways that they've tried to up their game, you already have enough of those defensively on the floor.
If I said Klay Thompson is now average defensively, do you think that sounds accurate?
Is he still an elite three-point shooter?
Yes.
Then I'll take that. And because
you make a fair point,
and the other question is, when those three are on the court, are you just trading points at that point, or are you able to stop points? And I think we saw that the Mavericks were able to play good team defense throughout the playoffs. And I don't think Klay is going to come here and be like, I'm not playing defense. I think he can play within the system too. But I am kind of curious on when it comes to. They can just pick on three guys? Is that what they can do?
I don't think they're going to want to pick on Klay. I don't think they're going to mind if Klay is on a guy and be fearful of that matchup. But I don't think to start the year, they're going to be like, hey, bring Klay's guy up into the pick situation so Klay has to switch on. I still think they're going to try to, most teams go, put Luka and put Kyrie in those situations. Klay, I think, is still a great team defensive guy because he has such a high basketball IQ that maybe his on-the-ball defense has gone down to average. But I still think his off-ball defense and understanding the angles, where to be, what the other team's trying to do, I do think that is elite the way that, let's say, Jason Kidd in 2011. Jason Kidd wasn't the same on-the-ball defender in 2011 that he had been
right
from 1994 to 2007 or 8.
But he worked his butt off.
But he was an IQ genius defensively. And then at times he knew when to expend his energy. How much energy can I give here? And I'm going to give it all to make this as difficult as I can on whoever. Kobe.
Last 5 minutes, usually he was taking on Kobe or whoever their toughest offensive guy was. Yes.
So that's what I'm hoping for Klay, is you have an elite IQ off-ball defender, and then he's still average on defense is what I think he has.
Okay. Like I said, very excited. Is he your best free throw shooter?
I would think so.
Oh, yeah. He's a really good free throw shooter.
Thank God. I never thought of that. With technical fouls, Lucas should never go to the line again.
Yes. And then the other thing is, listen, I don't know. Kyrie, obviously, we've been told, was a voice that helped recruit him. So chemistry-wise, I've never heard Klay be a very big, like, a problem guy.
I was listening to Richard Jefferson last night. And he said this on that NBA show on ESPN, and I respect Richard Jefferson a lot. He said it was Christmas Day, and he had the Lakers-Golden State game, and he played with Klay his rookie year and maybe his second year. And he said, hey, Klay, how's it going? Merry Christmas, this and that. And he goes, it'd be better if they paid me or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, he was like, dude, like, on Christmas and on this. Like, so he had already come out of the elevator on Christmas Day upset with his situation in Golden State. So he was done with Golden State.
Gotcha.
Last year, at least Richard Jefferson was relaying the story yesterday on ESPN that Klay on Christmas Day got out of the elevator already in a bad mood about his contract.
So hopefully he comes to Dallas and is happy with the contract. You know, Kevin, we talked to Frank about that.
Yeah.
When you get a contract, when you're negotiating, nobody's ever going to be truly 100% happy with it. You just got to hope that you make the things that both sides can agree upon. Hopefully he walks in here and he's like, look, guys, I'm ready to be part of what y'all are. And what we saw with the Mavericks this year, they built a very good chemistry amongst that group. Hopefully it's just, hey, welcome to the fold.
I'm glad you brought up the free throw shooting thing, because that's somebody texted in, this team won't be worth a damn unless they learn how to shoot free throws. I'll be like, hey. I'm paraphrasing.
Every game, Kevin, we were like, look, if you just make your free throws, you win.
I mean, they did still make the NBA finals, but I understand, and I think you make a valid point, and Klay Thompson is a very good free throw shooter.
Boy, so, he does not go to the free throw line, though, does he?
No.
I think he's shooting technical fouls.
Yes.
But the problem is he has Curry on his team his whole career, so maybe he wasn't shooting the technical fouls.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.